to stand as I reread this scripture passage this morning. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 22 to verse 27. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. These are thy words, Heavenly Father. We thank you for them. We pray that we might follow these words, all words in your scripture, all directives in your scripture, to the best of our ability, not neglecting some avenues that need our attention. And so today we look at the tongue. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this is Mother's Day. So what should I speak upon Mother's Day? Today I'm going to speak on communication. How we communicate with one another is extremely important and vital. Let me ask, have you ever been in a discussion where you can hardly get a word in at all? Anybody want to raise their hands? Several of us are brave enough to do that, a few more. Or if you do somehow get to say something in the discussion, no one responds to what you say? Ever had that happen? The other person just seems to hog the conversation and is the only one with any answers on any given subject. And then we get to say, here he comes again, the know-it-all. Or she comes again. Mrs. Know-it-all. And so when one is confronted with individuals who seem to know all the answers and do all the talking, one feels like running from the scene. Maybe say a kind hello and then be on one's way. How we communicate with one another is going to either break our relationships with people or build our relationships with people. And it includes personal relationships that we have, marriage relationships, business relationships, communication with children, communication with adults, parents, communication even with grandparents, even going so far as communication in the school classroom and communication in the church and in the community, wherever we might be. So James has a little advice for us in the 26th verse. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceives his own heart and his religion is in vain. So we need to learn to control our tongue. Well, it seems to me that most conversation is pretty shallow. Nothing much gained or lost in most conversations. How are you? You don't expect the person to give you a report at all. And so you say, what do you say? Well, I'm fine. Even though things are not going very well with you at that particular time. Probably you would not expect yourself to give a report to anyone who says, how are you? Or, you hear it more than ever, have a good day. Have a good day. Upon which I usually say, well, I'm working on it. Having a good day. Because good days don't just always come. We have to work on these things. Then there are those times when we need to communicate really something personal. And there are those we have chosen to know us personally. Especially husbands and wives. How does one communicate, especially when we need to know the most personal parts of us? How do we communicate that? How do we understand the things that we hear? The struggle. Or is it that our tongues get in the way of good communication? Possible that our tongues get in the way of good communication. So what can we do to further our understanding of what really is good communication? How do we purposely and prayerfully enhance the way we communicate with anyone, anywhere? And how can we enhance and improve the communication that we have with those that are closest to us? Well, I think the Bible is definitely the best book about communication that we could ever read. And there's lots of books out on communication. And we can begin by saying that the first thing to learn about in communication, according to the book of James, is to listen to what the other person is saying. And treat them with respect in so doing. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, in the 19th verse of the first chapter, let every man be swift to hear, which he's talking about listening to the Word of God. But be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Swift to hear, listening to what the other person is saying. And when listening, the tongue is not wagging. The tongue is not moving. We say nothing when we listen. Even if we totally disagree with what's being said, it's good to listen. The first avenue of approach to good communication in the family is to be a listener, and the tongue is under control. One can listen a lot faster than what a person speaks. I'm told that we have the capacity to listen 5 times the more conversation than what we probably are listening to. There should be no real reason for missing anyone's statements. Unless you're deaf somehow. Or practice selective hearing. To do that, there should be no reason to miss any information. Slow to speak. And slow to wrath. Also, when someone is talking to you, you're not thinking about what you're going to say when they finish. A lot of us do that. So someone is talking to us, and we're thinking about what we're going to say next. Not a good idea. Zero in on what they are saying. And it would be very good if you cannot understand what they are saying to ask them a question, is this what you are saying? So that you might understand correctly. So the main thing is not your response and what you're going to say next, but to understand what the other person is saying. And when you can restate what they are saying accurately, what the other person is talking about, then you've taken the first step in real communication. And there are certain barriers to listening. Being defensive is one of them. Especially if you're being corrected. If you're being corrected, so you're slow to anger. Another defense or another barrier is personal bias. Like if you're from one political party and the other person is from another, that's a political bias maybe. And it results in the breaking of communication. Another significant barrier in communication is interrupting. How many of us have been interrupted sometime along the line? I guess I'm the only one. No one dares interrupt me while I'm preaching on Sunday mornings, I guess. Although you could. Someone did that in Trinity and Minnewaukan a few years ago, before Trinity and Minnewaukan became part of the AFLC. One of the men stood up in the congregation and he says, "I've had enough of this." And he turned around and said, "I'm leaving." And they turned around, and he turned around and walked out with his wife, and almost all of the congregation followed him. So from the standpoint of hearing something that is not right, you can say, "I've had enough of this." So interrupting. So I find it's hard to be talking about something, trying to make a point, and then get interrupted. I know what the other person is doing. That other person is thinking about what they're going to say while I'm talking. And that is just plain discouraging. And it makes a person feel like what one is saying is of no importance, no value whatsoever. And the other person does not want to listen to what you have to say. Maybe they think they're smarter than the average, which I seriously doubt. Another thing in communication that is a barrier is the tone of voice. The tone of voice can impact what you're saying. So if you say something in a certain way, the other person will read what you're saying in a negative way, perhaps. Or in a positive way. So how many ways can you say good morning?
Good morning.
What if we came to church and the pastor said, "You're glad you're here." You know, for a while, he didn't want to be there either. One counselor suggests taping our conversations just to hear how we respond to others. And I thought, man, that would be something. The tone of voice is very important. So, and our body language is often the biggest factor in communicating. When we or someone else's we are talking to shows disinterest by facial expressions or whatever, or they back away from you, or they lean back on the chair that they're sitting in, and that's an example of body language. And it could very well stymie the conversation. So I've had a few of these individuals when they have come into my counseling session lean back as they disagreed with. Then I say, "You need to lean forward and listen." No, I'm not talking to anybody here. Don't look at anybody. I'm not talking to anybody. You need to look forward, lean forward and listen. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. Slow to wrath, slow to be angry, listen to what one has to say, and not try to interrupt and so on, shows that the conversation will be led in the proper way. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Amen. So if you keep your tongue and your mouth, you're keeping yourself out of trouble. People need to know that. We need to learn that in our families. Moms need to learn it. Dads need to learn it. Parents, grandparents need to learn it. Children need to learn it. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him, the Bible says. Another barrier to good communication is giving the silent treatment. Not talking at all. Well, if time is needed, we could take a little break and resume the conversation later on when both parties have calmed down. No need to have a discussion if you're angry. It's not a discussion, it's a it's a contest to see who's going to win. And the attitude we have to have is, it doesn't matter who wins, it's who understands the other one. Another barrier is not to understand the person's feelings. And this is very important. This is a big item. This is a big thing. Because feelings go deep. And feelings can block understanding. So in order to understand the other person, one must understand how that person feels. And a hasty word can erupt feelings and block relationships. The deepest level of intimacy takes place when a person is able to share with their spouse or with someone else who they are and how they feel. And to be able to do that without judgment. Now, this doesn't happen in every relationship because we don't get personal with everybody. A few days ago, I nor Marilyn did not attend. Oops, I've skipped something here. Some seem to think that in church they should be this way, to share a lot of these intimate personal feelings, and some of the new methods in discussion groups and so on in the church today is that we should be free to do this to whomever is in our discussion group. A few days ago, there was such an event that Marilyn and I did not attend it. I totally do not think it's anybody's business what happens in our personal lives. Perhaps in this congregation, you know us better than others that I have served. But familiarity does bring contempt. And also, each person in a marriage relationship most likely needs to have his or her own personal space. Couples should establish locations in their homes where they can have privacy. I do have a little room in the basement, which I call mine. And Marilyn has one in the loft. So if she goes up to the loft and I in the basement, that must be privacy. Oftentimes, arguments occur when someone's personal space is transgressed. And there are some who think, well, there is no such thing. When you get married, that's the way it should be. You all do everything together. I should say not. Not everything. And if people have arguments in the home, where do these arguments take place? It would therefore be good to have a discussion in other areas of the house rather than in locations which spark arguments. John Gray, he's not, so far as I know, not a relative of mine, says that men especially need to have time to be alone and think things through. John Gray says he calls it going into his cave. And I think I would agree. I think, too, another thing that we need to understand is that some people are introverts and some are extroverts. And often, in marriage anyway, these opposites attract. Some people need to think when they speak. Others can think while they're speaking. And one has to learn the style of the way the person communicates. And it's not easy for an introvert to become an extrovert. It just doesn't happen that easy. Coming at an introvert with too much information could mean a communication overload. They just might not know what to do with all the information. And some people get right to the point, and others do not. We have to understand this. Also, women and men have different ways of communicating. Men try to say things with less words. Women usually are the opposite. And in order to have positive communication, couples must meet somewhere in the middle. Women are usually involved with more details than men. Maybe that's why our wives pack our suitcases when we go on trips. Although we try to make that a joint venture in our family. Have you forgotten this or have you forgotten that? My joy is when if I can ask Marilyn, have you forgotten something? So one of the very first things we need to learn is to bridle the tongue and be a listener to what the other person is saying. And to make certain what is being talked about by the other person is understood. There are five levels of communication. Then I'm going to quit here. First is, how are you? I am fine. Have a good day. The next is, this is the fourth level, sharing of ideas with someone you may work with no fear of judgment. The third level, sharing of ideas and feelings somewhat with those you're sharing ideas with. More of a risk taken. The second level is the beginning of real communication, which takes place when you begin to say, without fear or judgment, something about yourself. And the highest level of communication is to have the complete freedom to share yourself, your ideas, your feelings, your aspirations, your concerns, whatever, totally being respected without judgment, loved by those that you're with. The main thrust of the book of James is our need for wisdom. James was the head of the church. He was the brother of Jesus. And James was concerned about ministry in the local congregation. And he is urging Christians to ask for wisdom. The use of our tongues takes Holy Spirit wisdom. And we need to use our tongues in a mature and a God-honoring way. Because the tongue is a great gift from God. What would it be like if we didn't have a tongue? The most powerful part of our body in many ways is the tongue. But it can be set on fire by the forces of hell itself. Or it can elicit bountiful blessings that come from the Lord. And you know it. It is the last thing that moves when we die. And we can build up one another or tear one another down with our tongues. We are urged always to use our tongues by Holy Spirit control. We are not perfect. We do say things that we should not say, things that are not beneficial to anyone, which tear down people from time to time. This is why, in the use of our tongues, we need to have godly wisdom. What is on the inside of you will come out through the tongue. It comes out in words and in body language and more. And sometimes it is the satisfying of our own personal ego where we're trying to make ourselves look good. So therefore, our tongues need to be controlled. But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Here's the key. It is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ which controls the tongue. Outside of Christ, outside of the Holy Spirit, there is absolutely, totally no way to tame the tongue. It must be controlled by God's way, not our own way. And we're going to fail. But if the Lord is with us, leading us, and controlling us, we will see results in our lives. And when we are in line with the Lord, it is going to happen, the best communication possible. And we will sin against the right use of the tongue. But we must not do it on purpose, making ourselves look better in an egocentric way. But still we know there is forgiveness because of the cross of Calvary. And still we know and realize we walk in a state of grace through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you will lead and guide us in the use of the tongue, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that our homes might be blessed. And on this Mother's Day, I pray that these words that have been spoken today might be a benefit to us all. That you will come and bless our house, our homes, and we shall give you the secret. We know that it is a secret. But it's no secret what God can do. We know that. And so help us to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Then we